When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So thrilled to have my friend, and she is my friend, back on the show. Navier is a friend of the Cosmic Salon, of course, but she also pops in here and there in the speakeasy, and we do chats over there as well here when we can sync it up. But today is a marquee cat for the world out on the greater marquee, out in the ethers of everywhere the Cosmic Salon gets illuminated, and I think it's like 156 countries, y'all. So I'm going to bring on Navier Allura, and as an opening, I'm going to let, for those of you that may be new to encountering Navier, because it has been a while since I've had her on out here, let Navier give you a little bit of what she's all about. She does these amazing readings, and she's multifaceted and very similar in vibe to things I talk about and do and have done in my life. And so with that, I will wait no longer. Miss Navier, hello, darling.
Hello, beautiful sister. I'm so delighted to be here. Hello, everyone listening. Thank you for having me on, Nish. It's always an honor and great pleasure to be here. And this morning when I was going through notes on my phone and different things, I had a memory that had like an Instagram post, I think, of 3 years ago. I was advertising on my Instagram that I was on your the Cosmic Salon. So,
gosh, can it be that long ago? My God.
Oh, shoot.
It just feels like yesterday when I launched the Cosmic Salon off of the obelisk. So, yeah,
obelisk.
I know from and from that was from Nox Minte, and we just keep linking, don't we? We just keep moving. So, Navier, what is it exactly you do in the world? I know some people know the Mayan stuff, but you do a lot of stuff. So, for people that may not be familiar with your services and the mood and vibe you put out in the world, which is a beautiful service, by the way, bring people up to date with who you are. Who are you, Navier?
Who am I? Quién es? Well, interesting place to start. I just launched a new, it's like a website scheduler. It's super easy to update from my phone because I'm off grid, which is a technological challenge to be out in the world in service, doing the things I do, I need for people to connect with me easily. So I've sort of put it up to the universe, like, if you want me to do this work, I need support from some tech folks. And someone from the Silicon Valley, an old friend of mine from when I lived at the ashrams, just texted me, said, how are you doing? What's going on? And I said, I'm drowning. I need help with this. And they said, I can help you. And took one Zoom call, and they set up this really super easy scheduler. And now people can see my offerings, book from their availability and my availability, and pay right from the site. Like, welcome to the 21st century, a wandering witch psychic services. So that's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
It's huge for me.
That's awesome. Convenience is such a good thing in this field, because all that other stuff just sucks our energy dry.
Absolutely. I don't want to think about it. I want it to be super easy for myself and for the clients. So some of the services that I offer above board now on my website are, I call them candle services, but it's like an infusion of distance Reiki, candle magic with intention. And some of them also include like a custom sigil that's prayed over. And I like to do elemental magic. So I'll go harvest. Oh, I just got emotional. I just love my land so much and where I live, and connecting to the flower devas and deities of the land, I feel is a huge aspect of what I do, kind of creating this like super condensed altar of light and intention. And I love offering that to folks. Another thing that I do is the Mayan astrology dream spell, or galactic astrology, it's also called. I offer personal readings so you can understand where you fall into this really cool and unique system of galactic astrology. And I also love to do relationship readings with this. So you would take like you and I together, and we would add up what our tribes and tones equal to see where our gifts are, where our challenges are, where our illumination is. And that's good for couples that are romantic. And also, I've done entire families. I've done entire like companies. I've done entire households. It's really cool to see how everyone works together and what that creates, what our specific energy and frequency creates. And I also do 13 sign astrology. So a sidereal astrology, it's like the actual sky. I've been interested in astrology since I was a wee little child. And I remember all of the sun signs of my primary school kids. I just have one of those odd memories for things like that. And I've always been intrigued with how the celestial bodies affect us on Earth. And I think it was around 2020, like in the beginning of the pandemic, I was hearing this like high self voice or ancestor voice saying, look up at the sky, look up at the sky. And I'm like, I'm looking, what? And I realized that my tropical astrology wasn't matching the sky above, the actual sky, the sky that I could track with my star app. And I kind of like put it all away, kind of disgruntled and didn't know what was going on. I realized, okay, so tropical astrology is more seasonal astrology, and sidereal astrology is more aligned with what's actually going on in the sky currently. And I had to like redefine or look into what the definition of astrology is for me. And I was like, okay, if astrology is the effect of the celestial bodies upon me and us here in the earth realm, then I'm only interested in what's going on in the actual sky above me. And that's kind of where I've diverged from a lot of more mainstream astrology things. So some of the things I'll talk about here aren't what you're going to hear from the tropical astrologers. And it's a little bit of a different take on things. And so I offer that. And my first love, honestly, is tarot. I've been doing that since I was 18. So it's some years, some decades now. And I also do the Akashic Records. That's another huge part of what I do. So tapping into parallel and past lives, it seems like some folks will contact me with this reoccurring issue or theme, and I can just sense that it's not rooted in this lifetime. There's something deeper, there's something older, there's something outside of this existence. And for the past 15 years or so, I've noticed that sometimes it has a root in a parallel life, which is a really cool whole can of worms. And sometimes it has a root in a past life. And we're able to dive deep into that. Sometimes if the folks are psychically gifted, they can see what I see, which is really cool. But sometimes it's just like me watching a movie and explaining the vision to them. And then we kind of like unravel the knot together. And yeah, I feel like I like to illuminate what is hidden for folks and uplift and empower people however I can and whatever bag of tricks I have available to me.
You're a powerhouse out there. Everyone that encounters you that I know personally has loved everything you've done for them, your work, and you definitely have been service to the outer world, in service, and I thank you for that. So I've asked you on today for a little look at 2024 through these different modes of scrying of science, the old sciences that you delve into, what could be coming up. And I think you said you're going to just give us a little backup starting in possibly January. The floor is yours, my dear. What's going on for our year?
It's juicy. It really is. So I'm going to start with the basic numerology for 2024, because that's a really good base camp for us to understand that the numerology of the entire year is the number 8. So the number 8 from the Mayan system talks about how it's integrity. And when I was meditating on the number 8, I was thinking how it was like an infinity symbol on its like upright. So there's like this sense of wholeness to it and the sense of flow and the sense of continuity. And in the Mayan, it talks about like harmonizing and being in harmony and modeling integrity. It's such a powerful, autonomous sort of number. Like everything is sort of contained within itself, but there's this duality and there's this top and bottom. You know what I mean? There's so much just in the shape of it. So then I looked up the Mayan dream spell astrology signature for it. It's called the galactic signature. And I wanted to see what that was for January 1st, which kicks off our calendar year, like the official, right? So I look at that and it's a red galactic skywalker, which is tone 8. And I'm like, okay, so here's the 8 again. And hope you don't mind if I say that you're a skywalker, Nish. And skywalker energy is, the keywords are explore space and wakefulness. So the glyph looks like vertical pillars extending, two vertical pillars extending from heaven to earth into the underworld with a line straight through it, sort of like the pathway marking the earth three-dimensional realm, right? That we're walking on. We're all kind of existing on this line for the most part. Some of us travel up and down. So it's like this stream of connection between the three different realms, bridging heaven, earth, and the underworld. And the Mayan word for the Skywalker tribe is Ben, B-E-N. And it's explained as the pillars of light. There's this like interdimensional quality going on with the Skywalker. And that's what we're kicking off the year with. And to break it down further, the Skywalker, they call it the red Skywalker. The Skywalker is always going to be red. It's like understood, right? The red Skywalker is one of 5 red tribes that all are part of this initiator group. So it begins with the red dragon, which initiates birth. So you have to look at it. It's like the core goes back to the birth energy. And then the red serpent stores birth as life force. The red moon processes life force as universal water. And the Skywalker outputs universal water as space. And then the red earth self-regulates space as navigation. So it's this link of birth, life force, universal water, space, and navigation. And we look at the Red Skywalker as an outputter of universal water as space. And there's so many links to the ocean, to the interdimensional realms, and space and water sort of merging into the same thing. The personality of the Skywalker is known for their strong opinions, knowing their mind, solidly feeling and knowing what they know. And they're super open to debate and discuss and express, but it's going to take something to talk them out of what their gut is telling them. There's something very, it can look rigid, but I understand it as they just know what they know. And they're not afraid to hold their ground and not people please, which I really honor, especially at this stage of my life. And another interesting note is all of the tribes are associated with a digit, a toe or a finger, which is kind of like a little aside. But the Skywalker's digit is the left ring finger, which we associate with Saturn and that like bond or law or commitment, right? There's like a relationship that's worn as a symbol as the Saturnian ring. So just to put that out there. So we have the tone of integrity with the Skywalker in this like exploring space and wakefulness. So this year is doused with this feeling of number eight, the integrity, and also with the exploration of the different dimensions and the different worlds. All of the different galactic signatures, like for example, the Red Galactic Skywalker, they all have an origin point. They're all different. This one is the White World Bridger, not to get confusing, but this is the origin of death as a great equalizer. And also the World Bridger also points to the interdimensional realms. So it's like the ability to cross the veils, the ability to explore the multi-dimensions. It's a trippy vibe on its own, the Skywalker. And then you look at where the origin root for this particular galactic signature is, and it's the World Bridger. And I'm like, okay. And then we link it to all the Pluto situation going on right now, especially linking the U.S. to its Pluto return, which we'll get to, and also Pluto just entered Capricorn on January 3rd. That's where I'm beginning.
Yeah, this is already very auspicious. And you know I don't mind when you call out aspects of my Mayan chart and all that. I love it.
Okay, good. Good. It's beautiful. It really is. And it also kind of gives folks that are familiar with your energy and vibe, like, okay, I can kind of understand and relate to the Skywalker persona or tribe personality.
Yes.
So I think it helps.
Yeah, I agree. It's always good to do that. And whatever we can do in general in life to get people to a deeper understanding is a gift, in my opinion. So when we can relate ideas and concepts to, say, a person, and so you get an idea for that vibe.
On January 3rd, Pluto entered Capricorn in the actual sky, in the sidereal. And this ushered in a new aeon for Pluto. So we have these paradoxical concepts of like power and powerlessness. Pluto is known for its intensity and the deep dive. So it's like if Pluto was a force of nature, it would be like a tidal wave suddenly transforming a seaside town irrevocably. Like it's never going to be the same again. And it sort of like comes out of nowhere. And it also has that ebb and flow to it, right? So like anyone who lives on the coast or has lived on the coast knows, if you see the tide going way far out, that means the tide is going to come way far in. So there's this sort of balance going on with the concepts here. So we have the long tide going out. What happens? Exposes the bare truth, exposes what's beneath the water that's been hidden or covered up or swallowed, right? Now it's revealed. It's there. Trash, sunken ships. Like, who knows, right? Lost things, lost continents. We don't know. I feel like there's a huge mystery kind of waiting to be revealed with this new aeon of Pluto. That's exciting.
I find it exciting as an explorer, and we already know that we're in new territory. We're in new water, so to speak. And so this just gets our, well, that wandering mind, that wandering star within us, it engages that energy in a more curious way. And that's where we're trying to go. We're riding above fear. We're moving into the curious and wonderment of it.
Absolutely. And it really is, that's the vibe. That's the current to align with in the year coming and in the years ahead, I think. And I'm going to do my best to connect in that current, in that wave. So taking a look at the Mayan astrology, when Pluto entered Capricorn just, you know, on the third of the year, so just a few days after the actual new year, it kicked in. Pluto entered Capricorn, and it was a blue planetary eagle in the Mayan dream spell. It sounds just like what it is. It's a planetary participation. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to get exempted from this experience. It's a planetary event. We're all in it together. And one time I was on a medicine journey, and I was living in a community, and I was having this sense of like everyone was down by the fire playing music, and I didn't want to be there. I wanted to like walk up and down this hill and like connect with the trees. And I was just up and down this hill, and people would come up and down the hill to go to the bathroom or get something to drink, and then they'd come back to the fire. And that's where they would see me, was on this up and down path. And I was having this moment of like, dude, what's wrong with you? Why can't you go and like sit by the fire and be with everybody else? And I was like, that's not what I want to do. I want to wander. I want to walk up and down this mountain. Let me do what I want to do. Stop yes. judging me. I was having this discussion with myself, you know. I met this character. He said, hey, what's going on? And I told him, you know, I'm having this debate with myself. And he looked at me and he said, everybody's in because they can't be out. Everything is knitted in. And he just carried on his journey. And I said, that's right. Everything is knitted in. Nobody's out because everybody's in. There's no out. And this is a great representation of that. There is no out. We're all in it together, literally. And looking at the blue planetary eagle, it's a tone 10 of manifestation. And the eagle has so much symbolism, right? I could go for days talking about the eagle. But in this context, the eagle talks about the power of vision and the power of the mind and the power of the mind to create with our vision. And they talk in the Mayan dream spell, they talk about how people who manifest as an eagle in this lifetime are old souls that are kind of like scraping the bottom barrel of life for a new experience. They've kind of like been there, done that. And they tend to be maybe adventure sport type folks. All the eagles I've known have all been like world travelers and daredevil type lifestyle. Like just, I have nothing to lose. I'm throwing it all into the wind, you know, and going for it. So I feel like there's some hinting there of kind of balls deep, you know, just go for it and like live deeply, live richly, live without fear in this moment, because it's going to take that. I think it's going to take us having that high flying eagle vision, just like you were saying, of like looking above the fear, rising above the sort of lower current and the vibes that is going, because it can swallow you whole if you let it.
Yes.
And being discerning with that power of the beautiful mind that we're given to reason, like literally reason with yourself, and don't just take everything that comes across your screens as truth, but let it resonate in your body. Let it sit with you and be like, does this really feel like truth to me? Is this something that feels healthy for me to explore and peruse? Or do I just need to say thank you very much and leave it and move on and go walk out in the trees or something? Because I feel like the eagle too, being a creature of nature and a bird that has dominion with air and land, and there's such a majestic quality to it. I had a particularly otherworldly experience with COVID a few years ago, and it felt like psychic attack. It felt really interdimensional, my experience this one time, and I was feeling overwhelmed, and like there was a lot of darkness in this, you know, fever dream I was having, and I called out to whoever would help me, some benevolent force, and an eagle came, and it was huge, and it brushed up against me with its wings and cleared my energy, and then the dream took a really like lyrical turn from there. And that was my first encounter ever with an eagle being in that liminal space, and wow, it felt so loving and powerful, ancient, wise. I was so grateful for that. The other thing I wanted to say is this 1-3-24 galactic signature, when Pluto went into Capricorn, blue planetary eagle, the higher vibration of this is guided by the night, N-I-G-H-T, the power of darkness. So the glyph of the night is like the higher vision of this. The power of the night and the glyph of the night is a parting of the curtain on the horizon. So if you imagine like an image of like a sunset, but then there's a curtain, like two curtains parting the sky, like opening up. So I think there's a lot of clues there that the power of darkness is going to illuminate us, and that we might be surprised and maybe delighted at what is there lying beyond the veil.
I agree. And to me, I can just feel this as unfolding as this year is starting to unfold with it and with us.
Whew. I know. It's like every day is so packed with so much. The next day I want to take a look at is the Chinese New Year. And by no means am I a Chinese astrologer, but from the research I did, I know that it's going to be a wood dragon on February 10th. We switch over from, I believe it was the water rabbit, which good riddance. I'm sorry. I'm welcoming this new energy of the wood dragon. So February 10th, 2024 in the Mayan is going to be a red solar skywalker. So again, we have the skywalker showing up. It's not a tone 8, it's a tone 9, but still we have the common theme of the skywalker exploring space and wakefulness. And this higher vision of it is guided by the moon, which is the power of universal water. So again, this like space meets the ocean, this universal water and liminal reality going on. It's so interchangeable. I can't even, like, when I was researching this, I was like, is this what is going on here? This is so much of the same vibe, like tone 8 and Skywalker and water. And yeah. So I wanted to just make a note that the Skywalker tribe, because now this is the second time it's shown up, is part of a collective family called the Signal family. And their work together as a larger group, which I won't get into too much, but the theme of it is we unravel the mystery. That's what they're doing. The Skywalker, your tribe, Nish, is part of this. Unraveling the mystery. We don't need to solve the mystery, but we're here for unraveling it. And I feel like this is a key for this year. Like, there will be things unraveling. And if we look at it like it's a mystery unfolding instead of like society collapsing, for example, we can stay uplifted. We can stay in that dreamy space of, you know, this is all a ride kind of vibe. Bill Hicks.
That is totally how I see it. And I love that this is why this stuff is so meaningful or resonant with me, is because that is how I view things. And this whole Skywalker thing really fits in for me, especially when we think about unraveling the mystery. And how you've just described all that really is my mindset. So moving into what is, I think everyone can see, is a dark year. I do, and I don't hide. I make sure to look into the void. I make sure to look into the darkness. I make sure to see what I'm seeing without hiding away from it. And then I try to understand, what is it and how is it going to play out? And how am I going to dance with these energies to get through and hopefully get through with some learned lessons? And so this year and moving into the next couple is going to be a significant test for all of us.
You're definitely at a threshold. It really does feel like that. And the intention that we set as we enter the threshold, for all of the magical practitioners out there, or psychonauts, whatever you want to call it, that know about moving from realm to realm or level of consciousness to level of consciousness, it can go horribly wrong, or it can be the most amazing, beautiful, connective to the, you know, highest God soul experience. But set and setting intention, this is going to matter moving forward. There's no more wiggle room for a victim consciousness or a poor me consciousness or a powerlessness excuse. It's time to like empower ourselves. It's time to own our gifts and own what we know and feel, and let our solar plexus, our internal will and knowing system, we all have it. We all have our inner compass. We just have to slow down enough and get quiet enough to listen, to see where it's directing and guiding us. And I feel like now is the time. There's really no time to lose with this. It's getting on our square.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes. It's at the door.
It is. It's at hand. We're in the threshold, I feel like. The next date I want to take a look at is something really juicy. And this is the exact Pluto return for the U.S., which is coming up. I'm not sure where this is going to air, but it's 2/22 of this year, of 2024. So 2/22/2024. That's when Pluto is, the Pluto return for the United States is exact. And when we look this up, when we look up what the galactic signature is of that date, again, it's a tone 8. So we have the integrity, modeling, harmony, and that infinity symbol again, upright. Tone 8, once again, also red, but serpent this time. So it's a tone 8 serpent, which is about surviving, life force, and instinct. So again, we're getting in tune with our gut knowledge. And all the serpent folks I've ever met are super sexual, just humming with life force and kundalini and root chakra, second chakra, just they have a vibe about them. And like, you just kind of want to lick them. Like, they're so, like, there's something good, juicy there, you know? It's beautiful. And we're actually in, the Red Serpent wave spell right now. And I'm born in that wave spell. Today is my galactic birthday. It's a red overtone moon day today, which is why we, Nish and I, chose this day.
Yes.
So tuning into that serpentine energy of how close it is to the earth and how instinctual it is. It's that reptilian brain that we all have. That I had this friend who had a little boy, and he would meet someone and he'd go, "I don't yike that yeti." And his mom would be like, "Shush, shush, shush." And he'd be like, "I don't yike her." And I, when I think about the serpent, I think, "I don't yike that yeti." Like, there's no filter there. There's no apology. There's no people pleasing. It's just like, nope. Mm-mm. And it's immediate acceptance of what your instincts are. And I feel like we could all use a nice spoonful of that in this year.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. This particular glyph, the on the Pluto return, is also guided by the moon again. So we have this universal water, the energy of purification and flow, and also that space as universal water and instinct, life force. It's all in this red realm of the red tribes. This is where we're like bouncing from tribe to tribe and different connotations of it. But it's essentially the same, because the dragon initiates birth as life force, as universal water, as space, as navigation. So how are we going to navigate? It's from our instincts. It's from what we feel in our gut and what we know. That's the roadmap, in my opinion. Something else of note with this 222-24 is it falls in the mirror wave, the white mirror wave. That's like the origin energy of it. It's called Etznab in the Mayan, but it symbolizes flint or an obsidian knife, that like hall of mirrors, that glinting blade, sharp. If anyone's ever napped, flint napped, or made their own blade from obsidian and done primitive skills things, or has a interest in working with obsidian, it is so sharp. It's like a glass like substance made from hardened lava. So it's this super, like, slice your finger off level of sharpness. It can be. And that's like the, like, before steel, there was flint and obsidian. So this is what this mirror is referring to. It's like a hall of mirrors, yes, but it's also that, like, sharp blade of what you see, you can't unsee. It's sharp in that, like the Ace of Swords type of sharp. Once you know, and there's no going back. It's like scorched earth. We're moving forward from here. And another key word of the mirror is reflects endlessness and order. So there's going to be an order coming from this alignment with Pluto returning for the U.S. There's an order. It's going to take, you know, anyone that's ever tried to like feng shui their house or clean out a closet, you have to kind of make a big mess most times before you get, or you have to sort, you have to chuck things, you have to decide. There's a process to it. So I feel like we're kind of in this, like, does this spark joy? What are we going to let go of? But I feel like thanks to the mirror energy and a lot of other aspects I'm seeing here, it's really not going to be a huge thought process. We're just going to know. We're just going to instinctually sign up to it. And I don't think it's going to be very like mentally stressful. It's going to be very like body guided, instinctually guided, is my feeling on it.
Well, that's a gift. I like it when things flow like that.
Mm-hmm. We just have to listen. And we all know how. We just, maybe we've forgotten or it's a little dull, but use that mirror to like sharpen your skills again of discernment and honoring what you know inside of yourself. So let me just backtrack a minute. So when Pluto enters the constellation of Capricorn, the celestial sea goat, on 1/3, right, which already happened, the galactic signature of that was the blue planetary eagle, right? So we have this goatfish that's linked to, you know, if you want to look at it, the ancient gods of like Sumeria and Akkadia, we have this like water / civilization / cultural advancement in the sea, associations to like Enki, Ea, right? Sometimes there's an association for Capricorn to them. So with Pluto in Capricorn, the infrastructure of our societies will be experiencing an overhaul. I feel like this is to be expected. And I'm hopeful that it's going to end well, but it's going to be messy, I think. And there's going to be a lot of corruption that might be exposed. There might be themes of reclaiming power, which also can get kind of intense. Pluto is going to approach the constellation of Capricorn, and like in the beginning of this, it connects with one of the Bahenian stars. And for those who are like ceremonially aligned or work with like medieval astrology, these stars are known as like associated with magic, right? And the one that it's that Capricorn is aligning with is in the constellation of Altair, or the constellation of Aquila, the eagle. And it's specifically with Altair. That's the Bahenian star. And the constellation of Aquila, I'm not saying this right, but it's known for like, I don't know, 3,500 years or more as the eagle constellation. And Altair is also associated or known as the eagle star. So there's this interesting connection again coming up with the eagle.
Yes. This is interesting.
It's so like, what is going on? I mean, I think there's 15 total Bahenian or fixed stars. And the meaning of Bahenian comes from the root word Baman, which is considered like a source of magic and a source of benevolence. But anyway, I digress. I just see these overlaps, and it's really kind of mind-blowing, honestly.
It's the magic.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger magic of the weave.
We really are woven in. Also, interesting to note that the eagle, you know, of course, is a sacred bird in many cultures associated with storms, thunder, lightning, and the power of the storms. But it's also the bird that's our emblem as a country. And it was also the Roman Empire's emblem, and also the Nazis. What? So.
Yeah, well, the eagle's a master out there in the bird kingdom, and it's a powerful, powerful, potent symbol. So it makes sense that where it's applied, we can see great power, for good or for bad, whatever you want to look at, but we can see the greatness of what the eagle energy represents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just drawing the connotation to the Scorpio constellation, which is at the stinger points to the galactic center of the Milky Way, there's three forms of the Scorpio. There's the scorpion, there's the eagle, and then there's the phoenix. So I would like to think that we're rising up from that like chthonic sort of intensity of the Scorpio in its first version, and perhaps we're moving and elevating ourselves, uplifting, evolving into the eagle.
Yes.
This is maybe an opportunity for that. I would like to think so.
I'm with you. I see it. I can feel it.
And just going back to Capricorn energy, they're master manifestors. Anyone that you know that's a Capricorn is like full on. All the people I can think of are intense master manifestors, are leaders, strong individuals, and determined. They rise up from the Capricorn goatfish rises up from the ocean and climbs up to the mountains. So again, we have this dominion of land and sea going on.
I've always been
And
super impressed with, in particular, Capricorn women. I always have Capricorn women around me. They seek me out. I think I'm the most impressed with the Capricorn women. I am in fear of some of them because they're potent as hell, and they are intense leaders. They can be overwhelming, actually, but I have learned so much from that particular energy here in this kind of this realm that we're learning in.
absolutely. Yeah, they like kick ass big time. That could be the logo under Capricorn. They kick ass big time. Their tenacity is really unmatched, and their impulse towards achievement. And the other thing about Capricorn as an energy, it governs societal structures and governments and financial systems. So expect some movement here around those themes. I feel like the underworld is revealing itself, the dark underbelly, the undercurrent, that which is hidden under the sea, if you want to think of it in that term. I think we're going to see a lot of things being revealed in the
Yes.
coming years, especially.
Yeah.
So, if you think of it as like ruling the bones and the skeletal system, it's like the framework that everything is hung on. That's what Capricorn governs too. So, I mean, that's so juicy to think of, like the actual bones and framework that everything is hung on will be in possible transformation or ready for a revision at the very least. I'm here for it.
Bring it on.
I know. Yeah, that's basically what I wanted to share. And I know it's kind of a lot. And especially for folks who aren't familiar with the Mayan dream spell, it's a, different system from other astrologies and such. But I hope it was clear enough and tied in enough with references that folks can kind of get the gist, can pick up what I'm putting down.
So, these are the energies that are going to be running for all of 2024.
So we looked at what was going on for the 1-1 kickoff, and that's just going to be for the year. But for, I think, 40 years or longer, it's going to be kind of the vibe with Capricorn and Pluto.
And then in the 1-1 stuff you did, that is that the Mayan stuff?
Yeah.
And so the Mayan stuff goes by, it also recognizes like yearly cycles.
It's a 260-day cycle. So it's not quite a full year. It's like almost three quarters of a year. So it's not based on the calendar, our Gregorian calendar. It's
Yeah.
its own matrix there. But the galactic signature for the Mayan for the New Year's Day of this year was the red galactic skywalker. So for the whole year, yes, it will have that signature carried with it. Just like when you have your birthday, we look at what day in the Mayan calendar it falls on, and that's your vibe for the whole year until your next birthday.
Navier Alora, I love you. How do people find you in the world?
Thank you so much, Nish. This has been so cathartic and inspiring. And thank you for everyone listening I'm happy to share and hope that it inspires and fosters healing and empowerment for folks listening. People can contact me via my new easy to schedule website, which is awanderingwitch.as.me, or you can go to my Linktree, which has all my social media contacts as well, which is linktr.ee/awanderingwitch.
Thank you so much, my darling, and thank you everyone that hears our words and hears what we're talking about. We are talking to you out there, and only you, the people that hear us. The rest, it's all right. We're just other voices in the wind, and it's all right. So thank you for being here in the Cosmic Salon, everyone. I want to thank the producers of this show: Cass, Mother Goose, Claire Cathcart, Denise Bissell, Eggtooth, Liz Radican, Inky, Eric Peterson, Heather, Jake Vanek, Kate Kukulkan, Carrie, Laura Dunn, Lila Marie, Lynn Radius, Marcy Shapiro, Mark Betcher, Melanie Poe, Mia Bell, Myra, Neil McNaughton, Noelle Jeanette, Pamela Hodall, Rod Knight, Sarah Etta, Stephen Mercer, Susan Jenkins, Susan Miller, Wise Night Owl, Lady Babs, our moderator, and Meredith, that runs the socials out there, the website, and does all the bookings. Meow Face Killa on Instagram. I want to thank all the other patrons that come through Patreon or support in other ways with your time and energy, with your vibrations of love and your open hearts and open minds. Thank you very much for being here and spending time, the most valuable of assets in the realm of time. The dreamer loves the dream. The dreamer feeds the dream. The dreamer awakens within the dream. Thank you for dreaming here with me in the Cosmic Salon.